Evening. It's going to be weird to just angle myself this way unless I look over at Zach every now and then. But other than that, it's angling my body this way to preach. So that'll be a little different. All right. Well, if you would open up your Bibles to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And this will be the first part of a seven-part message. So I'll be breaking this up in the next 7 weeks. Just kidding. I don't get that much time up here. But John chapter 18, if you would. And very familiar passage. And Pastor Kenny's been kind of preaching along these texts, along these lines. But I'm kind of preaching a little bit more. I'm pulling a specific verse and going to be looking at a specific point tonight. But let's go ahead and start in John chapter 18. Look at verse 36. So John 18, we're going to look at starting in verse number 36. And it says, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And so I want to be preaching specifically on that phrase tonight, what is truth? You know, In today's society, and today, not just America, but across the world, everyone believes that they can declare their own truth. Time and time again, they say, well, you know, I don't. That's your opinion, but this is my truth, and I believe this, and this is my truth. And all reality is there's either the truth, it's either the truth or it's not. And it's not a matter of your opinion of what you believe. Is it true? Or is it not? And so I want to focus on tonight, preaching on what is truth. So that's the title of my message tonight is what is truth? And so let's go ahead and pray and we'll get right into the message tonight. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we just can't thank you enough for this building to meet in. Lord, help us not to take things for granted. Lord, it's so easy to, but we are blessed here at Emmanuel. And I just pray that you would just guide my thoughts and my heart and help me to preach exactly what you'd have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. Just guide me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we dive into your word, Lord, help me not to say anything that's contrary to your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, in a world today that really focuses on their own truth, when they come into contact with the truth, it should be light and darkness. We're a representation of Jesus Christ in this world. We're a light in this world. And so when we preach the truth and we talk about the truth, there's going to be a big contrast from this world, especially the world today. Because there's a lot of darkness. But in order for them to understand the truth, we have to go back to, well, what is truth and what is the standard for truth? And so the first point we're going to be looking at tonight is the standard. The standard for truth is God's very nature. He is the standard. The standard for truth is God's own nature, the foundation of it. It's in his nature. Look at Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. We're going to be turning to a few places here tonight. And Pastor Legault keeps us on our toes, and he turns us to a lot of places, and the best teacher is God's word. So we're going to turn to a lot of places. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, says, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Hath he said, he shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? All right, so he is not a man that he should lie. Time and time again, I keep looking back, and I reference this, and I use this when I'm street preaching over and over again, because when God says he's going to do something, he will do it, because he is a true God. He is a God who keeps his word. Look at Psalm chapter 31. Psalm chapter 31. Psalm chapter 31, verse 5. Psalm 31, 5 says, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." He is the God of truth. Right? A big contrast from the God of this world, right? Because he is the God of truth. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And looking here at David and life of David and how he continued to put his trust in God. Why? Because his God was true. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, starting at verse number 25, it says, "And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servants." His words are true. See, God, we have a God of truth. He is the standard of truth. And so we need to understand that we have our God is light, our God is true, and so our standard of truth comes from him. All right? It comes from him. That's where you're going to find truth and hope and light. We also have Jesus Christ. Christ declares himself to be the truth. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Christ is truth. We have a triune being. We have a triune God. God the Father, he is truth. His nature is truth. His Son is truth. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Time and time again, we're going to see about looking at our God and the three parts of God, and over again, talking about how they are truth. And it's so important to differentiate truth. Truth is so important to our lives, and because God has given us light through his word so that we don't wander in this world blindly. All right? He gives us light, he gives us truth, and he gives that through himself as an example, and Jesus Christ. In John 1, look at 1:14, says, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Look at verse number 17. "For the law was given by Moses, by grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." It came by Jesus. Jesus Christ came with grace and truth to show the world what the truth is. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 20. First John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." We have a God that's true. We have a Christ, a Savior who is true. And he's even given us the Comforter and the Holy Spirit that helps guide you into all truth. Look at John chapter 6, back in John chapter 16. There's a big emphasis on the truth. John chapter 16, look at verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Comforter who Jesus Christ gave unto us, howbeit that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so we have the standard of truth through God, through his Son, and through the Spirit. All right, and so when you're trying to find out what truth is, it's you need to make sure that you're going to God first. This is something that I was just talking with a few people recently about. Like people, they don't read their Bible daily, but when they find a topic that they really like or something that's got, they have an itching ear about something, and they do a lot of study and they research just one individual topic or one thing, and they focus on that thing. And then they just bring it up and talk to different people in the church. Say, hey, have you questioned this? Have you thought about this? And what are you doing about this? But a lot of times they don't ask God to reveal the truth to them. And if you're having serious questions or doubts about why you believe what you believe or why someone teaches what they say, you need to make sure that you're praying and asking the Lord to reveal the truth unto you. Because he is all about truth, all right? He's all about truth. But you need to continue to ask him and search for the truth through him by asking on him, but he's also given us the Bible. He's given us his word. So the standard of truth is God. It's in his nature. It's in Christ. It's in the Holy Spirit who guides you in all truth, but he uses his word. And so the word of God is truth. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. That means you're going to be searching it. You're going to be studying it. You're going to be going through it to make sure that you understand and you're trying to find the truth. But it takes effort. It takes work. If you're just satisfied just coming to church and just hearing preaching and reading your Bible, but you're not willing to take time to study. Listen, anyone who wants to get good at something, they need to study that and they work at it. Being a job, I'm working in the tool room at my job now. I'm not quite in an apprenticeship yet, but I am working and I'm learning in the tool room. I have great mentors, I have great teachers, and if I'm going to get better at working in the tool room, guess what? I need to educate myself. I need to study it. I need to apply it. I need to practice it, all right, in order to get better. And if you're going to truly understand and grow in your relationship with the Lord and grow and understand the different standards that he's given you to live in your life, all right, then you need to be studying God's word. Amen. You need to be in God's word. And it takes work. It's not just, like I said, showing up for church and just reading. You need to highlight, underline, and you know what? Set some time aside. Say, you know what? I need to study this out. I need to figure out what God is saying to me here. So the standard for truth is God. He is the standard. Number two, the source. We're going to look at the source of deceit and lies here. So we got the standard for truth is God, but where does falsehood and deceit and all that, what is the source of that? Well, it's Satan. Yeah, it's the devil. It's Satan. Satan is the father of lies. It is a direct contrast to the spirit of truth. So anything that's dealing with being false or misleading or not the whole truth and trying to not reveal things but trying to hide things, that is part of Satan, who is the father of lies. When you lie, when you're being dishonest, you're aligning yourself with the father of lies. Right. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. You say, how can you say that? Well, in John 8, 44, we see that in the pinnacle of quote-unquote spirituality during these times, the Pharisees, who are supposed to be the example to the people of how to conduct themselves, how to live clean, how to live spiritual, how to live a life consecrated to God, right? All right, they're supposed to be looking at these Pharisees as examples of how to have a relationship with God. But we see here in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." He's talking to the Pharisees. "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He's calling the Pharisees, saying that their father is the devil. He cried, and man, what could you imagine? Thinking that you're this great spiritual being and Jesus Christ, a God incarnate in the flesh, is now calling you a child of the devil. And we understand spiritually that before Jesus Christ, you are a child of the devil. All right, we are the children of wrath, and we are not serving God. Therefore, we're serving the devil. And the world is blinded to that fact. They don't think that they're serving that. They just think they're living their own life, and they're just living according to their own beliefs and their own morals, and they think that they're just living a life, but they don't realize that they're blinded and they're living and serving a devil. And he's calling the Pharisees here, calling their father the devil. Why? Because they're full of deceit. You know, the outside of the cup looks great. They're wearing the right things and they say the right things, but inside in their hearts, they're full of corruption. They're full of lies. They're their father, the devil. And God hates a lying tongue. He hates that lying tongue. He hates that deceitfulness. He hates those that deceive others. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verses 16 through 19. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." He lists lying and a false witness that speaketh lies. He's listing that in there twice. God does not like someone who is dishonest. He does not like those who are willing to lie. All right? He hates those things. You know, he's given us a commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, that he commanded us not to lie, not to bear false witness. All right? So God has made an importance on separating the truth and lies. All right, and knowing that the source of being untruthful, unsincere, not being honest, that comes from the devil. And we need to be separating ourselves as far away from that as possible. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, number three, we're going to be sincere. All right, sincere. Sincere living before others. Sincere living before others. Look at John chapter 8. You know, being sincere, it means that you're being earnest and that you honestly and you are truly telling the truth. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so as a saved individual, once you've accepted the ultimate truth, which was that you were lost in your sin, on your way to hell, and recognize that, you turn to the truth, which is you can't save yourself. There's nothing that you can do to get yourself out of heaven or out of hell except for trusting in Jesus Christ as your ultimate, as your Savior. And you trust in him and him alone, and you have that truth. And guess what? That truth has made you free, but it is also about daily living, honestly living daily in the truth. All right? Living true, being honest with yourself, being honest with others. Listen, guys, pretending to be something that you're not, eventually, you're going to get caught. Because you can't keep on a pretense forever. Yeah, I remember being on a phone conversation with someone, and they're driving down the road, and we're having a conversation, we're having a nice conversation, we're even talking about certain spiritual things, and next thing I know, I hear a cuss word come flying out of his mouth because somebody cut him off, and I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? Someone's not being sincere. They're living a different life. They're trying to pretend like they're someone on the phone, but that's not who they really are. You can only pretend so often, then your true colors will end up showing through. And so if you continue to live in the truth, be sincere and be honest, then there's nothing to catch you in a lie. They can't catch you in a lie if you're being sincere, if you're being honest, if you're being truthful. Sincerely living right before others is truth-telling. Always telling the truth, even if it hurts you. Now, being honest, all right? Being honest. Listen, I've given this illustration to my youth group here before where I remember working. Even you said you need to tell the truth no matter what, even if it makes you look bad. I remember working it's probably about 10 years ago. I'm working in Elbridge at Tessie Plastics in the South Plant, and I was on the night shift, and it's me and two other guys. They had two guys working the night shift. So I come in, I work 12-hour nights. I come in 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And so, and in the South Plant, there's a lot of resin or material that has to get pulled out from the warehouse out into the floor. We have to scan it, you know. We have to scan it from warehouse out to the floor. And this is, we're talking about thousands and thousands of pounds of material that gets brought out, and it gets loaded up into a giant holding hopper that feeds all the machines that runs the material into those machines to make plastic parts. Well, every plastic part has to run with a specific material because the process of that machine is designed. All the buttons, all the numbers programmed into this press tell it, hey, it has to melt at this temperature, it has to feed through the barrel at this speed, and if it doesn't go through those parameters, you're going to have problems. You're not going to have a good product. Well, what ended up happening is my buddy and I, we would take turns. The first day of our 12-hour shift, I would pull all the material and he would do the loading. And the next day would be, he would pull all the material and I would do all the loading. I don't know if I just said the same thing twice or if I didn't, just fix that in your head. Either way, we swapped it. Anyways, well, one day, it was his job to pull all the material from the warehouse and with the forklift and drop them off onto the production floor. He brought all the material out. And I'm telling you, this is probably, it was like 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden I see him coming back from the production floor with Gaylords of material, like kind of going the wrong direction, buddy. Like, they weren't empty, they were full materials. Like he drives by, I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he said, oh, I grabbed the wrong stuff, so I just got to swap it out and put the right stuff out there. I'm like, okay, so he caught it, right? He caught it before he loaded the wrong material in. He's recognizing I brought the wrong stuff out. He's going to scan it back, put the wrong stuff, grab the right stuff, and bring it out. Well, I go home, I clock out from my shift, and I get a phone call at 8 a.m. And my boss is like, hey, what? Did you guys load the wrong material? I'm like, no, we didn't load any wrong material. Why? And they're like, oh, what just happened? And I said, actually, so-and-so and I were working, and I did notice that he was pulling material off the floor, but I thought he caught it beforehand. Well, what had happened was they called the other guy and asked him about it, and he completely lied, said, nope, none of the wrong stuff got filled up, but in reality, an entire Gaylord of the wrong material got loaded up in the hopper, mixed in with the other material, got to the presses, hit the presses. Guess what? The machine recognized, hey, this is not the right material. It alarmed and made a bunch of bad parts. It shut everything down. That's why we got the phone call. Well, he lied about it. And he ended up getting fired because He wasn't willing to just be honest and tell the truth. I heard it right from my boss's lips. Man, if he would have just said, "Yeah, I made the mistake," we could have corrected the mistake. We could have stopped the presses before they made bad parts. We could have emptied out the hopper. We could have put the right material in before we even got to making the bad product. But he wasn't willing to be honest. And he lost his job over it because he wasn't just willing to say, "Hey, you know what? I made a mistake." And so it's so important that we as Christians exemplify living, even in telling the truth, even if it hurts us. Because the lie is going to hurt you more than the truth. Someone's going to respect you more for telling the truth, even if it hurts, than they are. They're not going to respect a lie ever. No one's going to respect the lie that you tell them. You need to be truth-telling. You need to be truth-living. Doing what you say, having that integrity, it's so important. You know, that integrity and living for the truth and being honest, it's a security for you. It really is. Living in truth, it's a security for you. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 9. It says, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." Now, you pervert your ways, you walk dishonestly, you don't tell the truth, guess what? You will be found out. You have a protect. When you walk honestly and you tell the truth, you are protected from what? False accusers. For someone who's trying to accuse the brethren, right? It's a protection. Why? Because our lives are continually supposed to be pointing back to Jesus Christ. Right. And so if you're living a life where you're not being truthful and you're not being honest, then why would someone be led to Jesus Christ? They wouldn't, right? You'd be led to someone else. They just want to point at you and say, "Oh, look at the hypocrite in the church. Look at the hypocrite. Look at that guy. He claims to be a Christian, but he doesn't. He doesn't do what he says. He doesn't live the way he preaches." And you lose your testimony. Listen, it's so important to have that integrity. Have that because it's a security. It's a protection for you and your life. And it continues to point people back to Jesus Christ. But also, we need to be making sure that when we are speaking the truth and we are telling the truth, that yes, some truth is going to hurt. And that's why God tells us that we speak truth in love, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. And we don't just speak truth for the sake of truth. We're supposed to speak it in love. Why? For the benefit of them. To see them be successful. Not to just see them get upset with themselves and for us to push them down, but to lift them up. Hoping, we're praying and we're hoping that by revealing to the truth in them in love, that they would recognize it as the truth. That the blinders would come off and they would turn from their way to the truth. It needs to be done in love. It needs to be done with the small things. The small matters count. Being faithful in the minor things proves that you have the character to handle the greater responsibilities. Telling the truth, the little, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, this is one of the things that as a parent, you're always teaching your little ones, listen, you don't have to lie to me. You can be honest with me. You know, and that honesty, if you're willing to be honest and be truthful, then I can give you grace. But if you're willing to lie, then it's a sin on top of another sin. And now, that punishment and that judgment has to come down even harder. And so now it's understanding that truth, being truthful in the small things, will help you with in life, teaching them at a young age to always tell the truth. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. You know, if you're willing to give the little fibs and the little lies and continue to tell those little ones, guess what? You're more willing to live a life full of lies. And those are going to be bigger lies going in the future because you're always going to dig yourself into a deeper hole. So it's so important to train yourself. Listen, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're an older person who continually thinks that your life feels like it's not important and you got to make something else so people are like, ooh, wow, look at that. No, we need to live a life of honesty and truth. And in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of God, you are beloved no matter what life you're living down here. As long as you're living it in truth, in the truth of and the light of God's word, man, he's going to love you and cherish you and be that father to you that you've never had. But you need to live in truth, in the small things and in the greater things. And lastly, sanctified relationship with God. A sanctified relationship. So sincere living before others and a sanctified relationship with God. You won't be honest with others and having a life of honesty with others if you're not honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, you're deceiving yourself about your own heart. And if you're telling yourself a lie, you're saying, you know what, I'm okay. Nope, that thing that God's been tugging on my heart, that sin, that thing that I wear, that thing that I do, that thing that I say, that the problem with that tongue or that gossiping tongue or and telling things, whether it's true or a lie, but I shouldn't be running my mouth about certain things, regardless of what it is, and you know that it's wrong, if you're not willing to be honest with God that it's a problem and take care of it, you're not going to be honest with others. You're not going to be bearing the truth. You're not going to be bearing the light the way that you should be. You need to have a sanctified relationship with God, but that starts by being honest with God, being truthful with Him about yourself. And it starts with self-examination. Self-examination, look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We're almost done. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And so understanding that we need to make sure that we are praying this. Listen, this should be a daily prayer. This shouldn't be just something that, okay, I'm coming to church, coming to the house of God, and all right, pastors, get ready to preach. All right, search me, O God. Yes, you should be asking that of the Lord. But this is something that you need to be asking the Lord daily, right? To keep yourself honest, to make sure that you're not just getting away with something halfway through the week, getting away with sin all the way through the week, and then you're saying, all right, I'm definitely going to the house of God. I need to make sure I get this right. Oh, we have communion coming up. I better make sure I get this taken care of. No, this should be a daily thing. Amen. That you ask the Lord to search your heart so that you could stay honest with Him. And self-examining yourself that God will show something. I mean, when He does point at something, don't just push it out of the way and say, well, I don't know if He meant that. Or, Lord, are you really serious about me getting rid of this in my life? Lord, am I really supposed to change this? You need to be honest with Him and recognize when He's speaking to you and get it out of your life. Look at, you need to start with self-examination, and then you need to confess for healing, confession for healing. Look at James chapter 5. Listen, because honesty, being honest with yourself, being honest with God about your sin and confessing it before Him leads to restoration. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. confessing your faults. And number one, it's you're confessing your faults one to another and confessing your faults before God. And it leads to healing. It heals all relationships. There's a reason why he says to confess your faults to each other, because you know what? It reveals to everyone else, hey, guess what? I'm human too. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. And if we're honest with each other and honest before God, hey, God, I made this mistake. All right, now make sure you make it right with that individual. Why? Because you need to understand you're all in the same boat. We all live in this flesh in sin, and we're going to make mistakes. Please forgive me. And that makes it so much easier for me to forgive you when you make a mistake. And restoring those relationships. God's always is all about restoring relationships, but it starts with honesty. It starts with truth. Why? Because God delights in the truth. He delights in his children, but you need to be true-hearted. You need to have a heart of truth. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. This will be the last place we turn to. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. There, it's his delight. Don't you want to be a delight to the Lord? If you're a person who's not willing to live honestly, you're not honest with others, you're not honest with yourself, with to God, then he's not delighting in you. And I think every single one of us in here wants God to delight in us. And so we need to make sure that we're staying true-hearted, make sure that we're living a life consecrated to him, being honest with him. When we see something wrong with us, we confess it, get it fixed before him, and then he can delight in us. You know, one of the things that I always remember, and I kind of remember this, and I think about it every time in my mind, I want to be deceitful or I want to be tricky or I want to try to get away with something. And I won't forget it. And when Pastor Kenny preached that message, when he was covering the whole armor of God, and we talked about that belt of truth, and it's just talking about like, all right, you're putting on that belt of truth today, but as soon as you tell that falsehood, as soon as you tell that lie, guess what? You just decided to take off that belt of truth. And I always remember that. And that's what preaching should do. There should be something that you remember when God works on your heart. It's like, listen, is it really worth it to cheat in that board game or to cheat or to not to tell the truth in someone or say, you know what, this tool at work, it could be very useful at home and you know what, or take some tape or take some glue or whatever. It can be a very, it tests you and it's a test to your integrity. Are you going to be honest before your man, be honest before God, or you just say, you know what, I'm just going to take off that belt of truth. Man, and I think about that, and I was like, no, I'm not taking off that belt of truth. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And so make sure that you're keeping that belt of truth on. Make sure that it's protection from God from a life of guilt. That's what it's all about. It is protection, because if you're constantly covered in the truth and telling the truth, then you're not full of guilt and remorse for being dishonest and being untruthful. And so I just want to encourage you today just to remember that our standard is God, our standard is Christ, the Word of God, to understand that when you're not being honest, when you take off that belt of truth, they're going back to the other guy, the devil, the father of lies, which we don't want to be associated with at all. He is the source of deceit and lies and dishonesty. I want to encourage you to be sincere before men, not just put on a show, but to actually live truth, actually have the joy of the Lord. Don't just put on a smile because you have to. Have the joy of the Lord in you. Live in truth. Live in life. If you actually applied yourself and said, you know what? I have the joy of the Lord because I am trying to read my Bible every day. I am praying. I am communicating. I am being a witness because God asked me to be a witness. I am not saying these words because God told me not to say these words. I am not going there because God told me. And when you live a life in obedience to God, in obedience to Christ, that's where that joy comes from, because lies just weigh you down. And so be sincere before others, and then you'll have a sanctified relationship with God, because you can't be right with others, being a light, being honest with others, if you're not first honest with God. And be willing to self-examine, to confess, and get that healing. And then when you understand that, you know what, I am living in the truth. His truth, not mine, His truth, then He's going to truly delight in you. And you can be a delight to the Lord. And knowing that you're a delight to the Lord, man, that just continues to feed into that peace and that joy that we as Christians are supposed to exemplify, the joy of the Lord. So I just want to encourage you in that aspect here tonight to just seek the truth. You know where it is. And to live honestly. And, well, I'm not going to preach it all over again, but just want to encourage you in that way. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are a God who puts such a strong emphasis on the truth. And Lord, if we just take it seriously as you do, we would be a delight to you. We'd be a joy to you. And God, we just thank you for everything that you've done for us in our lives. And I pray that you keep everyone safe to go their separate ways here tonight. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.